go ahead.
All right. Okay, we'll call to order the February meeting of the Curie Beach Land Use Committee. The first item on the agenda is to elect a new committee chairperson. Since our prior chairperson, Mr. Joseph Whitley, who was a member of the council, resigned and is no longer a member of this committee. I'm the vice chairman, so I think this is my first official job here. So I guess there is probably want to open it up for nominations. If anybody wants to volunteer or nominate somebody to be chairperson for the completion, the duration of this, that would be great for the committee members.
I'm not a committee member.
Yeah, one of you guys.
I nominate you.
Just
my 2 cents worth. I think it's better if we had a committee member be the chair instead of a council person. I didn't agree with Joe being the committee chair.
I was hoping you were going to volunteer there with that.
I just think it'd be better as a committee person.
Okay. Okay, so, I mean, I'll be glad to do it. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any other nominations?
Yeah, you need to nominate a vice chair since now you are the chairperson.
Okay.
Well, let's vote on the chair first.
All right, so let's vote on the chair. Okay, we'll call the nominations closed. All in favor of
aye.
The... Aye, okay.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nobody
opposed. all right, so now we have to have a vice chair, which is the role that I play. So does anybody want it? Let's ask for volunteers for a vice chair. You don't have to do anything. So unless something happens to me, I guess.
I'll be vice chair.
Want to be vice chair? Okay.
And I'll second that.
All right. Anybody else?
Wait, did I just nominate? Did I? I don't think I could make the. Well, I guess I just did. Never mind.
No, you can nominate yourself in this, yes. All right, so nominations are closed for vice chair. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Excellent. All right, good. So that's the first thing. So I guess now that I'm chair, I think the only thing on the agenda is a presentation, isn't it? Pretty much?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me, before I do that, generally in meetings we have an opportunity for public comment and all that sort of thing. And I think this is the first time we actually have had a public. Is there anybody here that would like to make a comment? I mean, it's great. I'm glad you folks showed up for something like this. Without getting too curious, I'm kind of curious as to why you showed up tonight. Just out of interest, or do you have any comments to make or anything? Just curious, huh?
I'm the new one of the bunch, but I think we're all here for the same thing.
Yeah, I think we're all here to listen to anything about the beach walk, or not the beach walk, the town lots on Sandman.
Ooh, I'm
okay.
Not...
Okay, that's if that nothing about that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, this...
I think the safest thing to say is both we've asked with the council of government, the town has them under contract to rewrite our land use plan. The land use plan is a process of going through chapters each month, and we're looking at chapters 5 and 6 tonight. So he'll hand us out an assignment for the next meeting.
Chapter 7.
So honestly, you're more than welcome to stay, but we won't have any public meetings on the what to be done over there for quite a while.
Yeah. If I could jump into that, that's going to be a council discussion, I'm sure. So the town council is going to talk about that. This is the process of writing the land use plan where we kind of talk in general terms. We're not going to talk about anything specific like those lots. I would strongly recommend that. I'm pretty sure at the next council meeting, there was a bit of a discussion this last council meeting, but the next council meeting, you'll probably have some discussion.
And we're taking those comments that were put forward, that we're gathering, from what was on the, was sent out, and we'll take those to our budget meeting to decide whether we want to hire a professional landscape architect to hold public meetings and do a design and get everybody's input. And that's kind of the direction we're going in right now. So we haven't taken any formal action on it.
Design of what?
What?
Design of what?
If there
was the lot over on the
right.
To make it into a park, basically.
Right.
Basically, what we want to do with it.
is make it into a park?
Well, that's one of the things we're discussing. That's the reason we sent the questionnaire out, to give people's comments.
Yeah, but that specific spot, I just have a question. Does there have to be a parking spaces for the public?
Well, that's what we haven't got to that. If it's a true neighborhood park, neighborhood parks don't have parking. If it's a community type park, but all that's got to be looked at by what we can do, and we're so far away from that right now from being at that point. But we'll have plenty of public meetings and give everybody every opportunity to come in and talk to us, and we can hear your opinion.
We're not going to talk about that tonight.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure about that. That's fine. I was just like, wow, land use.
So you said your goal right now is to work on rewriting your chapters.
Yes.
So in consideration of rewriting your chapters, I think you have to give strong consideration in that. I mean, I know land is at a premium on this island. We're running out of it. And unless the military and the army, whoever comes off land, we're not going to grow anymore.
That's right.
Okay? Do we need other amenities for tourism, for the community and stuff like that? Sure we do. But you have to take into consideration as you're writing, whatever you're going to write in the chapters, you can't bring certain facilities, parking or anything, into tight residential neighborhoods. I mean, we don't have street parking. And then you have to take into consideration what those activities might be, and also in relation to what it does to home values. And that is my field and what I work in, and whenever we get to that point of having those conversations, I'll make sure I have all the data that you and town council
need. Please come, we want to hear from you. Yes, sir.
Let me kind of explain how the process for the land use documents, if that's kind of what you're addressing now. This is a committee that, with the assistance of the consultants, are putting it together. After this committee is done with it, there's several steps that it has to go through. One, it has to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which will be a public hearing where people can talk about it. And it'll be available as a document. I'm sure it's going to be put on the webpage. But there's going to be a public hearing, certainly through the Planning and Zoning Commission. Planning and Zoning Commission then will make a recommendation, and then it'll go to Town Council, which will have the final say as to whether to approve it or amend it or anything like that. So there'll be a number of opportunities for people to review it, to make comments on it, and so forth. And this is an open meeting, too. Certainly, you can listen to what's being presented and, you know, make comments here, too. So this is certainly a public hearing also. But there's going to be a number of other formal public hearings before the land use document is actually signed and sealed.
No, that's good. So I appreciate y'all hearing what I had to say.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I was on the road 8 hours today.
That's fine.
Appreciate what y'all do. Y'all have a great night.
All right, thanks, Sig. Well, as long as we're here, I might as well stay here, I guess. So let's go ahead and get started.
I'm good. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Councilman, for confusing that. But that's perfectly. I was wondering, have I done something wrong that I'm not aware of? But in any case, we're here, obviously, for the land use plan, and thank you all for being amenable to adjusting the schedule to today. Just to give you an update on kind of where we are, you now have received all of the draft chapters. Today, we will give you chapters 1 through 4 revised based on comments that we have received throughout the process. And then our real task today is to talk about chapter 5 and 6. And as we uncovered at the last meeting, there was some stipulations on the zoning map that weren't transcribed correctly. We do have at least a new map of the future land use map that we've already preemptively prepared. I could pass out copies of that if we need to, but I did want to make that comment.
Excuse me,
yes, sir.
You say stipulations on the zoning map when you're talking about the future land use?
The future land use map, yes, sir. There was, we utilized some data from New Hanover County GIS, which should not have been done, versus the town's paper copy, and so there was a couple of areas that were incorrectly designated that have now been rectified.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure we weren't talking about the zoning map.
Sure. Yeah, we're not changing the zoning map. Okay, that being said, we can, unless anyone has any particular questions about where we are procedurally, we can jump into, you know, take a look at Chapter 5 and receiving folks' comments on that chapter.
Okay.
So
I have to admit, I came directly from the university, so I didn't bring my notebook with me. Is there one? Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a chance to go home.
Yeah, all the chapter 5 is in the, right there.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. You want to get closer to the other two?
So are there any particular questions? Chapter 5 is land use and growth management. Does anyone have any questions? And we've sort of done this page by page. Does anyone have any questions on the first two pages regarding this chapter?
Is this the same thing?
I do. On your table 5.1 on the page 5-2, I couldn't get my head around 86% of the land being civic and institutional.
Which is my stuff.
I think we can correct, and I'm sure I wouldn't be the only one who scratched their head at how a municipal town could be 86% government property. I just think a reference to the Matsu barrier in the paragraph below that table would correct that misperception. It's not a misperception, a misreading on my part.
Sure, yeah, on page 5-1 it says government facilities too, but I think we should, yeah, include Matsu or perhaps just somehow.
According to the first sentence of the paragraph below table 5.1, according to the land use analysis, the largest land use category within the planning jurisdiction is civic institutional due to the town's high proportion of federally utilized land located in.
Okay, got it. Got it. Got
it. We have about 197 vacant parcels left.
Instead of 275?
Instead of 275.
How many acres then, John, would that be, you think? Drop it down to 30?
97 down to 5,000.
So about 30.
And are those residential? I will make sure that we double check on that number.
22.5. 22.5 acres. I would say they're primarily residential. Probably half could be duplex. The other half single family.
So that would be apt to be updated on the build out analysis too.
Yes, sir.
That information.
And it may be a function of aerial photos or whatever is not as up to date.
Or the building growth spurt in the last year.
We've been tracking it for about 5 years now. I've got a pretty accurate.
So every time someone pulls a permit. Okay, that's. That would make sense. We'll update that figure. Most of those gone residential? I'm sure most of them are residential.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Almost all, yeah.
So you're down to like, what'd you tell us, 6 or 7 oceanfront?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, so we're down, most of these are.
We will correct that figure and then accordingly update the build out analysis.
Yeah, is there a map?
Do you want to save that for the final thing before we submit this? I mean,
yeah, because it'll probably change like in the next year too.
Yes, it could change by the time. So we'll submit it to DCM. P&Z makes a recommendation. But they're not concerned necessarily about 22 versus 35, for example. It's just up to the town on, at the point that it's adopted, what you want that number to be, if that makes sense. And so it may be that once it gets to council for hearing, we need to double check to make sure that number's still accurate.
I think John does a good job of keeping us updated on an annual basis on what that number is. I know he has for about 4 years. And we do, whatever we put in print needs to be the most accurate information when we adopt it.
Yeah.
It doesn't change a whole lot. One or two.
When we get close, let me know, and I'm going to help you put that together.
Perfect. So we've got a Matsu change, we've got an acreage change, which will also reflect in our build-out analysis, and that's on 5-2 and 5-3. Anything else on either of those pages?
I did have a question when I looked at this very quickly. Environmental land use conflict, can you define that? What does environmental land use conflict mean?
Well, it would be, for example, where you've got an ADC or a coastal wetland or some other environmental constraint that wouldn't allow for development.
Okay.
That's a good question, though.
What is a residential laboratory district?
That is the Sea-Watch community.
Pardon me?
That is the Sea-Watch community.
Yeah.
It is Sea-Watch. I was looking at the map. Sea-Watch is actually zoned business.
Yeah, residential laboratory.
Yeah, that goes back, my goodness, 30 years ago when that was actually a commercial. They could have put commercial there, but they decided to put Sea-Watch in instead.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't commercial. The reason it was designated that is because when we annexed, that area was used as a huge testing facility. It tested HVAC units, different kinds of metals, things like that for the salt environment. And so it's designated as a residential laboratory.
I can remember looking at that. I thought it was originally a business district because they could have put like a store there or gas stations and things like that.
Now there is one little section up there.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. The one little section. Yeah, that's
one
it.
One little section that's designated as B3. And the reason
that's
that
right.
It's designated as B3 is because when we annexed it, there was a gift shop and a real estate.
Right.
Shop,
right. Okay.
Officer.
Right.
That's
right.
A Curry Big Deal drop.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Good question. That is fairly odd, I will say.
So the B3 has disappeared, even though did they request a zoning change or did they just build residential on it?
Well, by right.
Okay.
So, and that's a good question, and we're sort of jumping ahead, but we do have a number of our beach towns that have these older commercial districts that have since become residential uses, and some of them have taken steps to clean them up, and if they're, it's unlikely they're ever going to go to commercial, for example, and actually modify the zoning map to reflect what's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a optional thing. Okay, moving on to the future land use section. Questions as we get into the future land use section, that's 5-4, 5-5.
I have some comments. One, two, three, the third paragraph down under the future land use classification guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple comments, some of them purely grammatical or syntactical.
Sure.
And I'm just going to read and tell you where my comments go. First line, section defines the future land use class for Gaviota, for Curie Beach. You've got pages in here that on the same page say Town of Curie Beach, Town or Curie Beach. Somewhere in the very beginning of your plan, like in chapter one, let's just call it Town of Curie Beach, parens, here and after Town or Curie Beach.
Okay.
Because Town of Curie Beach shows up most of the time, and that's just awkward as you're getting into reading this thing.
Yeah, I agree that Town of Curie Beach is preferable.
That probably should be done in chapter one then.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then continue through the document.
The next sentence, the future land use classification includes 7 land use categories. Starting a new sentence, North Carolina general statutes require all rezoning decisions. And then I think it should read, and strike ordinance, keep amendments to zoning regulations and zoning map be reviewed for consistency. So in other words, I think you gotta, it's more than just rezoning. When you say ordinance amendments, it doesn't make any sense. We've got a code of ordinances, so which ordinance are you talking about?
It's alluding to your...
Yeah, I understand what it's alluding to, but why don't
Can't you simply say land use
regulations? Why don't we use
regulations?
Terminology?
Sure.
And,
yep.
Land zoning and include a reference to zoning regulations and zoning map.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4 lines up from the bottom of that paragraph, including a statement. Actually, it should be including statements because they're plural from planning and zoning and town council. Throughout 5 and 6, you call planning, well, where the draft calls planning and zoning board, but it's planning and zoning commission. So that's a global change that has to occur. Reading on after planning and zoning commission and town council as to whether the amendment is, yeah, that sentence is fine. All right, now I'm just going to read what I suggest for the last sentence and we go back over it again, but I think it's an important point because I think the governing board of the municipality needs to be aware of what I'm getting ready to say, which is provided by statute but not referenced here. I'm going to read the sentence as I would revise it. We can take it piece by piece. However, a finding that a proposed amendment is not consistent with the land use plan, and I struck out the rest of the sentence and put in this, is not binding on the town, on town council, but does, comma, if the inconsistent amendment is adopted, comma, automatically amend the future land use plan to the extent of the adopted amendment. I think governing, and I've been in situations where I've challenged in front of town council a proposed rezoning because it's totally inconsistent with their land use plan. I think I recall vividly that council, they were concerned with my comment.
Sure.
So they automatically talked to the planning director, and the planning director said, well, that's just a suggestion, you're not bound, which is correct.
Correct.
But I think there would have been more thoughtfulness if that council had realized that from there on out, if they approved that rezoning, that part of their comprehensive plan had changed from what it was to what they decided. So I do think there needs to be a reference to that impact if a non-binding...
If it's inconsistent, then it's...
changes the plan.
Yep.
That's it on that paragraph for me. Appreciate everybody's patience.
I just want to make sure I got this correct. We need to make sure that we're consistent with the terminology of Town of Curie Beach or Town of Curie Beach to make a reference earlier. We want to talk about consistency review for zoning map and zoning text amendments, not ordinance amendments. And
I would say amendments to zoning regulations because that's 160D language.
Got it. That's two zoning regulations. And then And then just the third, we need to add the new clause about that the plans are effectively amended, subject to an inconsistent finding.
Right, and planning and zoning is a commission, not a board.
Oh, and planning and zoning, yes, and that I agree.
Thank you.
Other questions on 4 or 5?
I have some comments on the implementation paragraph.
Sure. And does anyone else, before we get to implementation? All right. Good for it, Jim.
To implement the guidelines outlined in this chapter, I would strike ordinance and then continue amendments and insert to the town zoning regulations and map. Should be consistent, yada yada, with the requirements of the zoning regulations or maps. That was it on that paragraph. Again, 160D language.
Sure.
At the bottom of the page, there's your planning and zoning board, again, instead of commission. And I would use residents instead of citizens.
I've got a couple questions on 5. I didn't know if Jim was done with 4.
Let me take the only one I've got because it may be where you're
okay.
Going. On 5-5 Town Center, I think that somewhere in here there needs to be a reference to the fact that that's also the preservation overlay district.
Yeah, I was gonna.
In particular, the only change that I, other than trying to figure out where to work that in, if you even need to work it in, the only specific change I had relating to that is in your maybe a fourth of the way up from the bottom, implementation considerations.
Mm-hmm.
The last bullet there, maintaining the historic character. We've got a preservation district, but it's not a preservation district because of its historic. It's preservation because of its character.
Okay.
And the test under those regulations is whether a proposed change to the exterior feature is consistent with that character. So instead of that last bullet, I would word it as consistent with the character of the town center. If you want to of the town center's preservation overlay district, that'd be a good way to reference that as well. That's all I had on that.
The town center overlay district.
It's got the there should be some reference. I think that it is a historic preservation overlay district.
I would write that last line as follows: delete maintaining the and historic. Start off with this insert, consistency with the character of the town center under the downtown preservation overlay district or in accordance with that district.
Because that's technically the title of the overlay district. The question I had has to do with neighborhood mixed use. Mixed use, at least to me.
Where are you?
Down at the very bottom, 5.5, the last paragraph, neighborhood mixed use. Mixed use generally means a combination of residential and business on where it's possibility on top of each other. So you'd have commercial on the bottom floor and then residential on top floor. When looking at your map, you've got it identified as essentially the B2 zoning district. I'm not quite sure exactly how it's thing, but correct me if I'm wrong. I believe technically we have an overlay district, mixed-use overlay district on K Avenue.
You do?
Yes. However, that does not go down to where you have on your map also being pink. And so there's, I'm a bit confused. I don't think we should use neighborhood mixed use. You can use another term because mixed use has a very specific meaning for our overlay district down K Avenue, down to the town center. Actually, I think it even includes the town center, doesn't it? It goes, does it go all the way down K or does it stop at Fort Fisher?
It goes from 3rd Avenue all the way up to Bell Road.
3rd Avenue to Dow Road, okay. And I don't think that's being captured here.
And so the overlay district extends beyond the parcels fronting on K.
You got the parcel on your map.
Yeah, the pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pink. However, there's also pink further down Fort Fisher, which is not part of the overlay district.
Ah, yes.
On the map.
And so
that's what I have. And then
that's already through H3. I mean, it is a mix of residential.
But it's not technically a mixed overlay. You know, it's still a combination. It's a combination of residential. But when you say a mixed use, typically that allows zoning where you could have commercial and residential in the same building.
It depends. It all depends on how you define it. It's either vertical, what you're alluding to, vertical mixed use, which is where you got commercial on the bottom, residential on the top. But you also have horizontal mixed use, which essentially allows for, you know, a commercial next door to a residence. And we, you know, I think that perhaps we need to clarify that. But the intent is that it's either or, per se, unless you guys have an issue with, for example, vertical versus horizontal, because right now they're both permitted in throughout that area.
Is vertical permitted in that little one down Fort Fisher?
I don't think it is. I don't think it would be permitted down there. I think vertical would only be permitted up K Avenue, but not in the other one.
And when we say vertical, we mean commercial on the bottom floor?
Yes. And I understand the idea of mixed use, but I mean, by that definition of mixed use, actually, when you look at the regulation, in a lot of our residential, there is still opportunity to have business in some of those residential. So I'd be very careful about saying you could have a combination of different things. I would like to see mixed use as being a very specified vertical type of thing, which is what we have there. We can call that other area something else, maybe a combination or something like that.
It's sort of like a tourism-based mixed residential district, but you also allow hotels and motels.
Yeah, no. It's certainly mixed in a vernacular way, okay, but it's not mixed in a what I would call a mixed-use zoning way.
So perhaps we need to add another district that...
Or another color. I wouldn't really call it a district because our mixed use is an overlay on an existing district. On the push by the mayor. I know that, yes.
And I will say that, and that's part of the reason why we also had this in here this way, because that there's folks wanted, as part of the land use plan, they want more options for commercial, yeah, retail, restaurants, etc., which, even though this is not as your map is currently zoned, would be in accord with the desires of the land use plan. That being said, you guys are the advisory committee, and we can create a new classification that would preclude commercial retail and only be residential, hotel, etc.
Possibly keep the definition neighborhood mixed use. I don't have a problem with that, but maybe just identify that there really is kind of two components of that. Underneath that section, say that one component is that we have an overlay district, a mixed-use overlay district down K Avenue, And then the other point is a mixed use on a horizontal way on those other two categories. So you don't have to do a lot of changing, but just under neighborhood mixed use, just kind of note there's a slight difference in what those pink categories are, because they really are different.
You can probably do that easily by simply referencing that or the light district.
Sure. And so this is great discussion. So that brings me to the crux of it. Is do you feel like you do not want vertical mixed use in the area that's outside the overlay district? Despite what the zoning is currently.
We haven't had the discussion. I don't know.
This is the time to have. Because this is not saying you have to change your zoning map, but it's saying that, hey, you know, if we're going to change it, or if there's an option to change it, these are the things that potentially we'd want.
I'm struggling to what you could actually use it for. You know, have a business downstairs and a residence up top with parking being the biggest concern. And I'm just running through all the scenarios. What could you do?
It's a tough thing. I mean, there's lots of ways, and you got to think. It's hard to think about it necessarily further down the road, but say 20 years from now, is parking a big of an issue? In 20 years, do you figure out, hey, we're not going to mandate that you have to have a certain amount of parking on site? In which case, that mixed use. It could potentially make sense. You could potentially have, from an investment standpoint, someone that could build a commercial with residential. That's a big, you know, that happens with amending your ordinance. For you guys, what you should think about is, if you're driving down Fort Fisher Boulevard there, do you think that that's something that you would like in the town?
And remember that what we're doing is coming up with ideas, suggestions that will filter through PZC and then get to council for policy decisions based on the same. So it's not like we're writing the regs and saying how it's done, but if you felt that would be an interesting thing, plug it in and let it go through the process. If the consensus was it's not going to be something we would suggest, then.
Well, I can give my, I'm all for mixed use. You know, I think mixed use is a great way of dealing with the issues. I think if it's done well, it can add a lot to a community. I struggle to think about mixed use going up K Avenue, but there was a lot of pressure at that particular time to make it happen. And so we looked at it seriously because it actually, I think, technically was in the old land use plan to have that as mixed use. But I'm a big fan of mixed use. That's my own personal opinion, particularly as development pressures increase, and you know, people do like the idea of having retail and shopping on the bottom floor and then being able to go up. We're starting to see that sort of thing in Carolina Beach. Mm-hmm. You know, the new buildings that are going up in Carolina Beach are exactly the same,
yeah,
you know, type of thing. So I mean, if we're looking at future, I don't have a problem keeping that all as part of mixed use. I don't know how anybody else feels.
I don't have a problem with it either. I think that, you know, that's a good area. If you're going to have mixed use, the pink areas are great areas, but I struggle to understand, you know, how the parking would be and how you would even begin to do that as a business owner that, you know, is trying to develop this.
And that would be up to them.
I know, but it's like
the framework. They would have to be reliant on a certain amount of folks that are going to walk or bike to their whatever it may be.
Correct.
But as you're seeing, you know, there's enough demand that someone has made that investment, for example, in Carolina Beach, and said, we feel like we can make this work. They know the numbers. I don't know what the numbers are, but they figured out from their standpoint.
And I don't think they have parking in those buildings, do they, John?
Oh, but they have designated parking behind them. Yes.
Oh, they do have behind it? Okay.
And that really gets into a zoning change or an ordinance item. For example, we have in Southport, it's the same dilemma, except there we make sure to require parking for residential, because if you don't, the there'll be a park. But that's a whole, that's a zoning discussion versus you guys are thinking one big picture.
No, given the big picture, I guess you could keep it the way it's already presented. I mean, if we're talking big picture in the future.
And we could clarify, is there a preference for vertical versus horizontal mixed use? Horizontal basically is just you can have commercial next to retail,
right,
or commercial next to residential.
I don't think it matters right now because, I mean, there's too many things in the future that you have to be determined.
Okay. So I think we need to add, at a minimum, though, to help clarify that in the text there for neighborhood mixed use description that this would support both vertical and a horizontal mixture of uses.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, I agree.
That's good. Okay.
All right.
Well, in fact, continue on to 5.6, you give your examples. I would make sure that in your examples, you also give vertical examples, because these look all like kind of horizontal examples.
Correct.
Well, you get that by referencing the urban industry.
Are land use plans supposed to be this specific, though?
It's a matter of preference. I found, though, that it can be helpful. But it depends on jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
Yeah, I would just add as a bullet point on your example desired uses at the top of 5.6, an example of a vertical mixed use. Yeah. Just so it's clear that we're thinking both ways. Yeah, in fact, your fifth bullet point kind of excludes it. No more than one story. I mean, I agree with John. That might be a little too specific there, where you have low-profile commercial.
I feel like we're getting in the weeds. It's not like that's cooperating.
Yeah, when you say no more than one story or 2,500, that's getting pretty detailed.
That's for commercial specifically. I'll give you another story, and it happens to be about Southport. But they had a Dollar General that wanted to come in to Southport, and we had recently modified their ordinance to have caps on the sizes of retail or certain commercial uses. That doesn't fit the model for Dollar General, for example. And so they are going to choose to try to put a highway commercial type zoning district in the middle of their downtown through a rezoning process. There's no way that's ever going to pass. They sort of walked away. But the goal, the key part of that story is that Southport does not want a Dollar General in their downtown. And by having those caps on those size, it helped push that away and put it into places that perhaps it makes more sense, highway commercial type district, further away from a walkable area. That's the only reason why we've got some examples in there, but they can be stricken.
Yeah. Well, the only reason when I look at that, because there are also some very nice retail, when you consider like a beach clothing store would be retail too. But again, when you read that, low profile commercial / retail, so you're combining both right there.
Yeah.
No more than one story or 2,500 square feet. So just by putting no more than one story, it seems like you've excluded vertical.
Let's specify the vertical.
Yeah.
And the other reason is, I don't know about this town, and I may be mistaken, but we have a number of jurisdictions that are not fond of waves or these big, huge beach stores that have a higher profile. They take up a large amount of square footage, and so if you have provisions in place, it can kind of help protect against that. And I don't know if you guys want a waves or an eagles or whatever, or wings. Probably not. But if you had to have one, it may be a little bit more amenable if it was smaller.
That's true. Let me kind of just jump on that, because that's one of the primary reasons why we have a historic district now, is to manage that. But that's only within an area like there. But if somebody's outside the historic district and they satisfied zoning and they satisfied John for the building requirements, they could probably put up a wings right now in those particular areas, other than in the historic district right now. And I think the general opinion has been that just the nature of the town council has been that we don't want to restrict people from doing certain, I mean, there's certain businesses you don't want, you know, like adult bookstores and things like that. But if somebody wants to put a wings type of content in a thing, that is perfectly fine. That's their business right. It just has to be well done. It has to be architecturally well done and all that sort of thing. And I think that's kind of the key issue. But right now, we can only control that really, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, we can only really probably control that right now within the B1 Historic District.
Correct. That's right. Or in your zoning, you can have caps on you can limit the size.
We can limit size, yeah, but...
You know, I don't know. I'd have to go back and check, and maybe Wes knows, the prohibition on regulating design.
You can do anything, any design elements on non-residential. You just can't do it on one and two family, anything that's regulated by...
Right, that's what I'm getting at. The town can regulate design features on commercial.
Correct. Absolutely.
So what that means is plug it in those regs. If you wanted to go that route, you find the in the district regs, you put those kind of conditions in. So you can regulate design on commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you're raising an issue that if we want that there, then that's something that P&Z might have to look at in terms of developing regulations to be consistent with what we're saying here.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all part of this, you know, this process.
Okay.
Okay. I apologize if we went down a rabbit hole there, but that's the purpose of this process. All right. We've got a couple changes there that we need to clarify. As far as other items on page 5-6 or 5-7. Questions on 8 or 9?
Well, I just had a real, real quick question. And again, maybe John can help me on this. There are a number of places that we define as single family, but in fact, that includes duplexes. Mm-hmm. There are places. And I know the word single family is through a lot of these things, but in fact, the buildings in many of these places are in fact duplexes. Is that something that we need to identify here?
It's identified here. So, for example, if you look at low-density residential uses, you've got example desired uses of single-family, and then undesired, you've got two or multi-family residential uses. So that'd be a two-family, that'd be a duplex-type use.
But we have those. That's already in our zoning and is allowable in many of these places.
In certain districts. It's not in R1, correct?
Not in R1 or 1A.
Yeah.
But in
so,
two.
So, yeah, okay. And that's where we've shown that low-density residential category.
Okay,
to,
all right.
To help preserve that.
So in medium-density residential, you have the two-family residential units.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
That's fine.
All right. Good question. Anything on... 8, or before we get into 9 on the specific goals and objectives and policies?
8, middle of the page, conservation. We've already abbreviated Matsu previously.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably one I made. Sam put back my ears. He's out a long week, so.
So on Thursday.
Yeah.
I gave him the night off.
All right. Questions on 9?
Yes, I got some.
Yes.
Goal 5.1. Mm-hmm. Do we only have one goal?
For land use compatibility?
Well, yeah, but do we go into any other topics? Because I only see one goal to the end.
Yes, this is all, this is a mandated goal based on the camera regs, but we can add more goals in here.
I'm just thinking, and the policies may take care of it, but every time whoever does planning and zone, ECC or council, will have to do a consistency statement. So I always look towards either the goals or the policies, whatever they're called, to track that language one way or another. Now, the policies do that. It just struck me as interesting that there was only one goal. And substantively, that doesn't bother me. I just found it interesting.
It's a good question. Typically, the goals are more broad, and so it can be difficult to use a goal, for example, for consistency review versus the more specific policies that we would try to lean towards pulling our consistency statements from. That's just my opinion. That's a good comment.
Let me make another comment about objective 5.1, and I'm going to need the feedback from Councilman Oliver and Chairman Goldberg, because I may not have all the information that I need. Objective 5.1, maintain small town friendly, yada, 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 by encouraging single family and two family residential development. And it's my understanding that wherever you go in town, and which is also, as I understand it, specifically permitted in the preservation district, that we have abundance of three-story multifamily dwelling units. Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
So is that objective? How does that objective square with that reality and that permissive development, even in the preservation district? You know, we put that in the preservation district because council didn't want to limit that sort of development. So how does that development and permitted development square with this objective?
So you have a problem with the word low profile. More than anything.
Now, I have a problem that objective 5.1 says we're going to encourage single family and two family. Where does multifamily fit in? If we're encouraging one or two, we must be discouraging multi.
And I'll just add, the reason why we put it in there is because, you know, our survey results and public input, you know, folks don't want multifamily. That's not to say that you don't need to say that you encourage it, but that's the reason why that language is that way.
I don't have a problem either way, but I do see some inconsistency between this objective and what the reality is inside the town and what is also permitted inside the preservation district.
Do we have to be that specific in the when we're talking about family residential development?
How many multifamily buildings do you think we have in town?
I don't know.
But I mean, what do you consider a multifamily? I mean,
what are the
big question?
Well,
if you go to the end of the boardwalk, what's that left hand turn at Atlantic?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got some fourplexes and
three story multifamilies.
Eightplexes. We don't have a lot of them.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm driving along, because I don't know the town that well, I'm driving along the ocean heading north. And when I get to the end of all those parking spaces, I'm going to take a left. Is that Atlantic? What? No, that's not
Atlantic. Ann Avenue.
What is it?
Ann Avenue.
Yeah. Are those three-story multifamily?
Those are, yes.
My understanding that council will allow that type of development in the preservation district. Maybe the solution is encouraged.
No, that's not accurate at all.
In the preservation district, B1, can't you go three-story multifamily?
You can go three-story with a hotel, a motel, that kind of thing. Not a condominium, no.
In your B1 district, Greg, well, I'm not talking condominium. I'm talking about three-story multifamily. Does B1 allow that residential development?
It does not. It allows hotels and motels, tourist lodgings.
All right. Well, then I stand corrected. One possible solution that if you go to Councilman Oliver's point, you could just encourage residential development without specifying single or defense.
I mean, I don't know if that gives us any hot water later on, but.
Yeah.
I don't like plans, so I don't know. I mean, you know.
It's up to you guys. I mean, I try to write these so that you guys are armed with the tools that you need should you get a proposal that you do not want to see happen. And so,
yeah,
on our feedback, I felt like folks do not necessarily want multifamily development here.
I would probably agree with you. You know, I think we want to encourage single and two-family housing, kind of low density. Our zoning allows other sort of things occasionally, and other sort of things have been put up because people try to maximize the square footage on a parcel of land. But I think most people, and I think the results of the survey reflect that, is that we want to encourage lower density type things. You know, so I guess I don't have a problem with this, recognizing that, yeah, our existing zoning sometimes allows something that's more dense.
That's correct. And so should you want to in the future, this is sort of saying, hey, guys want to make it more difficult to do multifamily or, you know, certain things to do that. This is sort of the roadmap to go there. Same as, you know, extending vertical mixed use down other portions of Fort Fisher.
And the word encouraging doesn't mean not limiting. You know, so encouraging means you can encourage it, but kind of recognizing now that we do have something else.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, good question. Okay.
My only other comment is 5.1-A or dot A. Mm-hmm. Existing development will be protected from new development and redevelopment. I think it would read better if you flip those around and use a different word. New development and redevelopment will be consistent with existing. Just my nickel's worth on that.
And a shall there? You want a shall?
Well, that's a good question. For somebody like me, that's a great question.
Yeah.
It probably will is good enough. The thing I don't like, I usually go shall, but in a land use plan and requirement to be consistent of that plan, I can just see in different ways challenges using the land use plan as a basis. So, kind of like my land use plan would be a little more discretionary.
Sure. They could say should.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. All right. Anything else on page 5-9? We are on to 10 and 11.
Can I ask a question about 5.1.E.1? And again, maybe John can help us on there. Consider establishing floor area ratio size thresholds.
I've debated bringing that up, but we visited that many years ago and decided that it wasn't feasible for our jurisdiction. I think you just copied.
Yes, we kept that one in there.
Take that one out. The reason I didn't bring it up is because we've got a different board now. Maybe it's a good time to look at it again. I don't know.
What do you think we should do? I mean, I don't, you know, I can imagine what that is, but I don't think we've ever talked about that in P&Z at all.
So, well, in some of our beach communities, they have a threshold on the size of the residential structure. So you may be allowed to do by right up to 3,000 square foot, for example. If it's above 3,000, it's got to be a special use permit, and in some places, they prohibit anything over 4,000. And the reason being for that, the reason that those governing boards have proceeded in that fashion is they did not like the, you know, the 20 bedroom residential structures.
It's probably a little too late for us to,
well,
you know, to do that. We have a.
It's never too late from these for these types of things. So, you know, if you feel like that's something, you know, that raises an eyebrow, that's interesting. You know, it's not saying you got to do it. That's just a consideration.
Are you talking maximum or minimum or both?
It's maximum.
Maximum. By law, you cannot set a minimum anymore on residential.
Well, the word, you know, by putting the word consider establishing, you kind of leave it open. So.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What did they want to limit it to, John?
2007, the last time that was discussed.
What did they want to limit it to?
I mean, Wes just hit on it a little bit, and then, you know, as the larger you get, the more parking spaces you have to put in, and so on and so forth. If I remember correctly, it's been a long time.
But the height restriction limits a lot of that, right?
A lot of the height restriction in our lot sizes, yes, sir.
Yes, some of our beach communities have the way that the beach is aligned, that they can have they can build a 10,000-foot structure, for example.
Those are primarily the oceanfront places.
Correct.
Now the Banks area, they ran into that big time. I think that's where all this originated.
Yes, whether or not it was a commercial structure versus. So there's some of that. We in our Brunswick County beach towns, ones that made a more recent change from septic to sewer, they all of a sudden, you know, went from a 5,000 square foot max to somebody showing up and, you know, building one of these things. It's one of these houses that's got 12, 14 bedrooms and 14 baths or whatever it may be, and they didn't like it, and so they.
It all comes back to the vacation rentals and how to regulate it.
I mean, they're hotels by any other name, basically. So.
Pardon?
They're hotels by another name,
correct.
Essentially. So.
Yes, many hotels is
many hotels, yeah.
What they're often referred
to. I also had a question about manufactured homes. We've got kind of two areas in Curie Beach that have a number of manufactured homes. Mm-hmm. One is where it's by zoning allowed. The other, all the manufactured homes are technically non-conforming. Mm-hmm. And we've got issues that they can't replace those because it's a non-conforming sort of thing. So I want to make sure that policy 5.1.F makes sure that if somebody tries to come in where it's non-conforming right now and say, well, look, it reads right here that manufactured homes is acceptable, and since my neighbors on both sides have manufactured homes, it's not going to affect property values. That is still not allowed.
Yeah, I mean, and this is one of the ones that Sam and I talked with, you know, when, and I believe this is based on the existing policy as well, and we were not sure whether to leave it in, and so I'm glad you brought it up. So, I mean, do you feel like it bears mentioning leaving manufactured homes here?
Well, I think by law we have to have and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think by state statute we have to have some zoning for manufactured homes.
Right.
And that's the way it is. Now, a lot of people have gone in and taken those out and built non-manufactured units there. But we do have an area where they're non-conforming with existing zoning.
Yes.
And the thing that we want to make sure is that nobody can point to something in here that says that, well, you say it's acceptable, and as long as it doesn't hurt the adjoining property value, because my adjoining property are manufactured homes too, that they say, well, I should be able to replace it. So I think that there's got to be some wording in there that people can't point to that and say, well, look, your non-conforming is not consistent with this.
Just in simplistic state, one, you can just remove this altogether. Frankly,
I'd probably just remove it altogether. What do you think, Tom?
That do prohibit them from a just hazard standpoint, from a hurricane standpoint. But if you want to remove it altogether, that's an easy change. Or you can put the word legal in front of the continued legal use of.
I could do that too. I mean, that's. Anybody else have an opinion on that?
I don't know what the commissioners would have to say about it. I don't really. I think our preference would be that we would eliminate it eventually.
Well, then, if that's the case, you can strike this provision.
I think the only reason we allow it is because we have to. So.
Yep. You could make a very strong case, and it would be up to your attorney to defend it, that our location was to an angry ocean, and the propensity of hurricanes could be reason enough that they would be prohibited in the town. But we're not going to go there. Okay, so moving on. Other items on 510 or 511.
Yeah, 5-1-D, three lines up from the bottom in the middle, starting with as to the, you see where I am?
5-1-D?
P is in Paul.
P, yes.
Three lines up in the middle, as to the, I can't make any, I'm not sure that sentence is correct. Three lines up. Yes. As to the conditions taken into account, I mean, I don't know if that's grammatically correct.
Yeah, that's, I think, a typo. Yeah, that should say inconsistencies, essentially, is what that is.
Inconsistent?
Inconsistent.
And then on, I don't want to get ahead of
you. Sure. Anyone else? Or sorry, we're on 11. Anyone else on 11? But yeah,
can you define age? You know, I know what you're trying to say, but whenever I hear a term, age-friendly development.
Typically, those are 55 and up. But so there's been a movement from ARPA, for example, the American Association of Retired Persons, to help communities basically become more bicycle and pedestrian friendly from the standpoint that that's also good for our older folks for walking, et cetera, and perhaps aren't going to be driving as much as they once did. But that can be taken out.
Because then you're into suggesting they would become a member of AARP Network of Age Friendly Communities, WHO Global Network. That seems pretty specific, you know, for a land use plan.
Yeah, that action can be taken out.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I would certainly take out recommended action. I think that. In a land use plan, it's got to be fairly general, not very,
sure.
You know, that's getting pretty specific there. Age-friendly developments, you know, I struggle that without a definition of what's meant by age-friendly development.
Well, there is an appendix
there. There is, okay. All right. As long as that's in the appendix to define that, you're talking about more bicycling, or, you know, I mean, my vision is if I develop a age-friendly development, I'll put ramps on all the,
sure,
you know, which huge. Is not what we're talking about.
ADA accessibility as well. Yes, and then in terms of, you know, we can't necessarily regulate your one and two families, but, you know, having elevators, things of that nature. But yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Size 1Q, near about a third or fourth of the way up from the bottom, starts out the town will assure that all segments, that seems to create a duty regardless. I would introduce that sentence as follows: in accordance with statutory and code requirements, comma, the town will assure. I mean, there's not everybody gets notice about every land approval decision or application. Recommended action 5.1.Q.1, the very end of that first line where it says boards. The town doesn't have any boards, we have commissions.
Standing committees and commissions.
Yeah. Well, I guess we do have one board of adjustment, but you'll reference that later.
Okay.
My other question dealt with the bottom. We're going to, according to this, and even though time passes slow, 2 years
yes.
is quick, we're supposed to review goals and policies every 2 years, but if you flip the page, update the land use plan every 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need more than two, realistically speaking, and is having both be 5.72 long?
So there is in the CAMA 7B guidelines a requirement for an implementation status report. I know of our CAMA communities that have land use plans, one that does it regularly. So, and I don't know if that answers your question, Jim, but we put it in here as sort of
what does CAMA say on a regular basis?
They in their 7B guidelines says you're supposed to be doing an implementation status report every 2 years.
Okay, that's fine.
And so CAMA's not giving us any money to do these plans, so we put it in there sort of as a carrot saying, oh, we know what your rules are, but no one does that.
Okay.
I've been a member of P&Z for 14 years. We have never done a 2 year review.
Yep.
And I can't conceive of doing a 2 year review of a land use plan.
Yes, and I'll tell you the only reason why it's good to put in here, because in the future maybe they will have some more grant funds. And what they do is when you ask them for money, they will say, well, can you give us your implementation status report from your last plan? And so, the last round of grants that they had money was probably 4 years ago, and I had to furiously put together several implementations to get the money for the community to do the plan. Long story there.
You didn't backdate those, did you?
I didn't.
I mean, I would like to have a land use plan that we try to be consistent with. You know, I think that's the whole purpose of a land use plan. You know, coming from California and being on council member there and a PMZ person, it was required by law. None of the stuff that, well, if you're not consistent, it becomes part of the land use plan. No, it is required by law to be consistent in California. And if it says 2 years, you have to do it every 2 years. You can't fool around with this stuff. Here, we have a little more squish, I think, in terms of doing it, but I still would like to have it consistent. I mean, if we put that in there, we'll try to do it every 2 years. Is that what council would like us to do?
Well,
review every 2 years?
According to West, under the CAMA law, it is every 2 years.
Wow.
I don't know that we should tinker with it.
Okay, all right, okay.
I mean, you can take it out, I guess.
No, I mean, if that's what CAMA rules are, then let's leave it in. You can have some pretty hired P&Z members.
Indeed.
Okay.
Question on the maps.
Yes, sir.
On two of the maps, it doesn't show the condominiums down at the end of the island, well, the end of Curry Beach.
Which?
I mean, it shows the land, it just doesn't show any buildings there.
It's all one parcel of land.
That's all one parcel of land?
That whole edge stretched down there.
Existing land use indicating civic and institutional.
It's one big because one big. It's one big complex, even though they're separate buildings. But it's
I guess there's
one
the
map.
There's the bridge, and then there's the.
It's the one that would show civic institutional as blue. And I'm looking at
that's the thing right there. That would be the Riggins.
This right here is Trudeau's, and this little square right here is the Riggins.
Okay,
that makes sense. Okay.
Looks like there's a street name right under the top.
This really is all Ocean Dunes. And then this little square.
The same man lots, and it doesn't say Curry Dunes, but. It's got a green for recreational, private common area.
Yeah,
look at Fargo there.
I'm looking at the
rectangle is the Sandman lots. So the green area right above it is the common area for Beach Walk.
That's on this map.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to make sure the Sandman was covered.
All right. So if we are into chapter six, I'll just mention that chapter six is a required chapter of CAMA, and so this is a basically cut and dry of your existing development program, and then all of the recommended actions have been put into a matrix. These are not new ones. They've just been taken from the plan. But I will say that matrix can be helpful for our local governments, for our planning and zoning commissions when, you know, they want to get a work plan together of things that they want to work on. And they also require, CAMA requires us to identify a time in which these things are supposed to be completed, which is absolutely impossible. So we just put years down there. I'm not suggesting that you have to do these in any years, but we're being amenable to their requirements in order to qualify your plan. Hope that makes sense. All right, that being said, questions on chapter six?
I'll start out after we do. In the middle of the page, existing development management program, that paragraph three lines up, starting in the middle, the town has a planning and zoning commission.
Mm-hmm.
Come down to the next line, comments on certain proposed developments, please put a period there. Delete in addition to acting as, and have the next sentence read the town's historic preservation commission. There's some more to that, but we try to make a distinction between the two, and I think actually the composition now of the two is different.
Okay.
To a certain extent, so I want to clearly make that distinction. And I finished that particular sentence, the town's historic preservation commission, I would finish it by the following insert. Assist in regulating development in the downtown preservation overlay district by hearing and deciding applications for certificates of appropriateness. You kind of mentioned above that what town council's doing. If you want to set forth the mission of the HPC, that is a sentence you might want to contemplate. Okay. Then at the bottom, zoning regulations, very first line, just take out the ordinance and put regulation, the zoning regulation, or the town's zoning regulation. That's all I've got on that.
Questions on 2 or 3?
Yes, on page 6-2, very bottom, historic preservation. First of all, recently the town has undertaken, I would delete the work. Next line, towards the right, I would replace through with by, by. And then I would have the rest of that sentence read, regulating the exterior features. Of structures within the downtown preservation overlay district. So they're regulating exterior features of structures. Actually, you could take structures out. Regulating it, well, maybe you need to keep it, exterior features of structures in the downtown preservation overlay district.
You said the first sentence, take the word recently out. Or leave recently.
No, recently is fine. I would take out the work. Recently, the town has undertaken to preserve.
And I would also add a word after heritage, something like heritage and ambiance, or something like that, because heritage sounds like you're trying to preserve buildings. But what we're trying to preserve.
Why don't we use character?
Character would be fine. Take out heritage and just put the word character.
Okay. All right. Moving on to some questions about the implementation schedule. Essentially, these are all items that we have formally discussed. And if there are items in five, anything that was changed in 5 would be also changed in here. In your new material, or what you'll receive when we meet next, when we have an updated matrix that incorporates any changes from the other chapters. For example, 5.1.N.1 on page 6-6 would be the list.
I don't have any comments about these. Did you call it the matrix?
Yes, sir.
No question, no comments on the matrix.
Do you have a card or anything like a business card?
Pardon?
Do you have a business card?
No.
All right.
I'm sorry, did you, floor area ratio, was that what you were just referring to? On the top of 6-6, I don't recall what we discussed about that.
I believe we left that one as is.
Okay.
Since you're the vice chairman.
Any other questions?
Can you remind me what happens next?
Yes. If everyone's done with comments,
yeah,
I will provide that. So there's two options. First option is you will get chapters 1 through 4 here, including revised material. We will incorporate the changes that we heard today, and we'll come back and meet at another meeting of the Land Use Plan Committee, at which point in time you guys will review material again and consider making a recommendation to planning it to P&Z. That's the first option. The second option is you can make a recommendation of this document subject to the changes discussed and to P&Z, and then what we would do is we would meet next time at P&Z. You would have new material based on the changes that we had today.
1 through 6.
Yes, sir. And so it's up to you guys. It doesn't necessarily matter to us. If you would rather, you know, skip a month in the process, or if you're not comfortable with moving it yet, then I would go with option 1. Does that answer the question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's up to them.
So, I mean, my general feeling, I hate to extend things out, but we have recommended a number of changes.
Sure.
I'm guessing that you probably want to look at it again, don't you think? Just
probably.
Yeah. Sounds good.
What do you think?
The next meeting, we'll just look at what we've...
Yeah, come, yeah. Okay. You know, yeah. Rather than making a motion now, subject to the changes we talked about, and going to P&Z. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Next meeting, we'll review 1 through 4, which you'll give us today, and then on the spot, 5 and 6, which you'll provide at that time.
I will try, depending on when we meet again, to get it to you a week in advance. I can't promise it. We've got to figure out when that will be.
Right now, we're scheduled for March 8th.
We're scheduled for March 8th.
That's tight.
That's tight, so we can move it.
Yeah, and I've got a conflict, unfortunately, that evening as well. If we moved it out...
No, well, March 14th, I think, would be a good
date. How about the 13th?
if we perhaps bumped it 2 weeks or something like that, I don't know if the
22nd
would be amenable to folks.
I can't do the 22nd.
Okay. How about
24th? I could do the 24th or the 23rd.
I think I'm good at any evening.
I'm good for evening.
Tony?
I'm good the 23rd, 24th. That's perfectly fine.
24th sounds good.
Yeah. What time?
Sorry. The 23rd would be better for me. I apologize. Is the 23rd okay? And I know I suggested the
24th. Okay, sure. 23rd.
23rd.
At what time?
5:30 again.
On the 23rd.
What happened to the 10 a.m. ones?
Well, the committee has jobs.
Ladies and gentlemen,
5:30 on March 23rd. We will get it moved.
Thank you. And we will shoot for trying to have material to you on or about the 16th or the 17th. So you have at least got a couple of days in advance to take a look at it. We were pretty, unfortunately, fairly loaded up at the moment.
But if you reach out to me and want me to pick it up, I can on my way in.
Okay.
Because I come from another county, basically. Oh, that's right, you come from Hampstead.
Yeah. So it's not a big deal
if
it's
taking
a trip.
All right. Well, thank you all for your time this evening.
Thank you.
That's it for me.
I'm sure our audience would have enjoyed this tremendously. I don't know what you think. Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, got to take a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Don't walk out of here without your homework.